of the crop.
Welcome to the 129th edition of the Gooner Podcast. This is your host, David Udoh, and we're recording on the first Monday of June, just over a fortnight after Arsenal finally ended a nine-year trophy drought by winning the FA Cup final against Hull City. Sorry, the mighty Hull City. The club's next match is a friendly in New York against Thierry Henry's Red Bulls, whilst in between there's some tournament in Brazil that will feature a few of the club's players or something, I don't know, something about football. Anyway, we are gathered together for a bit of an end-of-season special, and we'll start as usual with the panel intros. First up, he's been penning his column for the Gooner at least 7 years longer than Arsene Wenger has been managing the club, and his opinion of Arsene Wenger is as consistent as the British weather. He's only here this evening on condition that we all hit the pub afterwards, so it promises to be a night to regret, at least when we wake up tomorrow morning. It's a warm welcome back to panel regular and the man known best as the Highbury Spy, Mr. Steve Ashford.
Good evening, everybody.
Next, another podcast panel stalwart and a more occasional contributor to the Gooner now that he is a busy man with a very important job. He relinquished his season ticket a year ago but managed to wangle a cup final ticket nevertheless. In fact, he sat next to the Spy at Wembley. A few days later, he emailed a picture of himself with the FA Cup trophy in 2005, which demonstrated just how much stress Arsenal caused him since, as he had hair in those days. However, as the hairline has receded, the wisdom has grown. It's a very, very good evening to Mr. Mark Ollington.
That was the shittest intro I have ever had.
I didn't write it, I just say it.
Hello, everyone.
Finally, a returning guest who last appeared on the podcast at the end of 2012 and one of the leading lights behind the Black Scarf movement. We spent a good chunk of the last podcast encouraging people to join a planned protest against ticket price rises before the West Brom game, so I'll be interested to hear what he made of that, in spite of the fact it wasn't organised by the BSM, because it was certainly in sympathy with their aims. So hello once again to Mr. Kelvin Meadows.
Hello, everybody.
So, gents, as much as we all want to talk about how Iran are going to get on in the World Cup and whether those stadiums are going to be rebuilt, let's cut to the chase and start with the last match that Arsenal played, which happened to be at Wembley Stadium. Mr. Ashford, at 2-0 down, did you think, we're still going to win this? Or were you like Fraser in Dad's Army, bellowing, we're doomed?
To be honest, and, you know, I did think, even though we were 2-0 down, we would come back and win it.
You did?
Because we had to. I said to my good old mate Mark, who he just says I was sitting next to, great day, we just had to win that game. If we'd have gone 4-0 down, we'd have just had to get 5 goals from somewhere. We just couldn't afford to lose it. There was so much riding on that game, probably more than any other game that we've witnessed, you know, probably in the history of Arsenal. You know, after 9 years of failure, not relative failure, 3 cup final defeats, Barcelona, Chelsea and Birmingham, you know, there's so much would have happened if we'd have lost that game. You know, I mean, the club would have been in meltdown. The media and the press would have been after us next year, something rotten. Wenger would probably have left, and that's probably a good
thing. We'll come
back
to that.
But we just had to win it. And I knew it, when we went 2-0 down, we were just going to have to do it. Mind you, having said that, if we hadn't scored when we did, that brilliant Santi Cazorla free kick.
Free kick is easy.
If we'd have got to half-time 2-0 down, with the tactics that Hull Tigers were adopting, wasting time, kicking the ball out, feigning injury, all sorts of things, you know, which was really frustrating. I think we might have actually been staring down the barrel. But Santi saved us, and then the referee made an error with the corner, but we should have had the penalties.
Well, we'll come back to
but
that
it's
as
a
well.
Bit worrying that it took extra time to beat Wigan and Hull. But
true.
Don't care, we won.
Kelvin, what were you thinking? When we went 2-0 down, did you think, hang on. We had this at Anfield, we had this at Stamford Bridge, we can't have this against a rugby league team at Wembley. Or were you thinking, we'll be all right?
We'll be all right. I think most of the people that I was watching with were of a certain generation. We've seen it, been there, done it. And we just knew that at the end of the day, they weren't going to let us down. You know, they had to win it. You could see it in their interviews before the game, in the build up to it, they just knew how important it was, and I don't think Wenger had too much to do about trying to gee them up. I think they managed to do that themselves, and I had every faith that they were going to do it. I didn't think it would end up going to extra time. I didn't think we'd go 2-0 down. You know, if it was a betting man, I had us down as 4-0, but
so did I.
But you know, who cares? It doesn't matter at the end of the day. You know, we got it. Who cares?
What,
What about you, Mark? Seriously, you're a man that I know. As far as I'm concerned, you were sat there, you stick your headphones in, you know, listening to the Tin Machine back catalogue and thinking, you know, fuck this, I'm going at half time. Were you thinking, it's fine, it's a nice intro?
No, I literally, before the game, like Kelvin, I thought this is the day when Arsenal don't let us down. I could see a 4-5-0 win, a glorious day where Arsenal were having, for once, a nice, easy stroll. When we went 2-0 down, I was shitting myself. I literally could have been sick there and then. Kevin was sat on the other side of me, our esteemed editor, and I went, Kevin, is it going to be okay? Please tell me it's going to be all right.
Please, Daddy,
and
please.
He's got no great superior knowledge, but I was looking to him as like a father figure, which shows how desperate I actually was, to tell me it was all going to be fine. And even at 2-1, I thought it would be typical of Arsenal to blow this big time. And I was petrified about going back to work on Monday morning and everyone just ripped their piss, the media just laughing their heads off. I have never been more nervous at a match, probably ever. And when we won it, it felt obviously amazing. It was just a brilliant feeling, but I was exhausted. The emotional stress in that match was phenomenal. Yeah. And not to score the winner until the second half of extra time. And when I thought it was going to go to penalties, I thought we're not going to fluke this twice. Fabianski's not going to become a hero again. I was a total wreck. So I'm glad Steve and Kelvin had this great, great faith in the team. I was the opposite. I really was. I was a mess. An absolute mess.
I know. Well, we were all in a mess. But typical Arsenal, we've scored the third goal 5 minutes to go, 10 minutes to go, whatever. They go straight up the other end.
Yeah.
And you're thinking Birmingham all over again.
Absolutely.
Mertesacker just slips for the first time this season for no known reason. Fabianski comes dashing out of his area, just like he's prone to, and Almunia did all the time. The pair of them don't get the ball. The geezer goes past them both. You're thinking, oh no, it's Birmingham all over again. And we're going to lose on penalties after coming so close. Yeah. And that was the longest moment in my life when that ball went agonisingly close. And even then, Gibbs nearly did his best.
Absolutely. You thought he fucked it up, it was going to knock it into his own net.
When that was over, I thought, that's it, we've done it now.
Yeah.
But my God, they didn't have to make us work for it, didn't they?
But in retrospect, obviously it made it all the more sweeter. Even though it was hell to go through that, I mean, what a great cup final, right?
I mean, it's come
from 2-0 down. I think Steve got some stat on the day. It was the first time since 1968 or something like that.
Yeah, 66.
2-0 down and won it. So, you know, in retrospect, it was brilliant. But it's never easy, is it?
No. No, you wouldn't have it any other way, really.
Oh,
it's a way that Arsenal we've got used to it with the Arsenal. It's never, ever easy. It's never easy.
But it kind of was it when we beat Chelsea 2-0 in the FA Cup, you know, back when we were really good in Wenger's first period, for a while, it was kind of easy, wasn't it?
Well, it was, but that was a different team. That was a unique side,
yeah.
You know, who got us looking at Arsenal in a way that we've never had them before. It's always been heartache watching the Arsenal, going back donkey's years. But
Swindon Town,
exactly,
Luton Town.
Swindon, Luton, Leeds,
West
everything.
Ham,
you know, Ipswich. It's all there, you know, but Saturday, that was the old Arsenal, the way that they used to win. These years ago, it used to be lucky Arsenal, you know? And we hadn't heard that for donkey's years. It's nice to hear that again. It's also nice to know that people don't like us much anymore.
Absolutely,
but yeah. The media were hating it, and when I got back home, I take the whole coverage, and the kind of co-commentators or the panel was the fantastic lineup of obviously Lee Dixon, fine,
yeah.
And you had Roy Keane and Tim Sherwood. And obviously,
Tim Shepard was on the. Oh, I didn't know that.
And obviously, they couldn't. When half time, when we were obviously 2-1, they were all wetting themselves at the prospect of us getting beaten in that match. So, how fantastic for it not to happen and to win our trophy after 9 years. Brilliant, eh?
Absolutely brilliant. I'm still buzzing now after 2 weeks. Every day I wake up, I think, great day, wonderful day. Arsene Wenger's the best manager ever.
He won.
Don't care if he stays, he can stay forever now. We've won a trophy. And by the way, it's Arsenal 1, Mourinho 0.
It was indeed. Genius in failure, my arse, as it were. Yeah.
But you might have a question about that, Dave. But it's amazing how supporters change, because during the match, I was slagging off Wenger to Kevin for the entire game, going, he doesn't know what he's doing, his tactics are shit, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
The minute we won and he's getting the bumps, I'm going, oh, look at Wenger, isn't he great? Oh,
he deserves it, he earned it. He worked really hard.
Look at that, it's marvellous.
Did anyone notice how he lost 9 years in age between the end of that match and the following day at the presentation? I mean,
he seemed to wrinkle and crease, didn't he?
No, well, he kind of did this season, but at the end, once we won that trophy, he kind of went back to being like 64 again. rather than 84. Do you know what I mean? I mean, he looked so old in some periods, last year, year before, after all those big defeats, you know, when they interview him. So, Arsene, you've lost 5-0. How does it feel? You know,
well, it was good spirit, good quality. Yeah,
yeah. But, I mean, on the parade back at the Emirates, you know, when he got in his white shirt, when he lifted the cup up, he looked like he did it in 2002. He just looked like a new man. Incredible.
I think he looked quite confused in the photos I've seen from the Islington Town Hall balcony. He's there with the cup, doesn't know how to hold it for a start. He's kind of got it perched next to him, saying, I think this is how you do it, but I'm not too sure. And one of those smiles, like when you're going through customs and you know you've got, you know, a bag of something in your own satchel you can't talk about. You know, suspect grin. Anyway, yeah, we'll come back to that later. But look, enough of the glory. Let's look at the game itself. Kelvin, why did the team start so badly? 2-0 down against shit after 9 minutes.
I think it was all part of the master plan to make it.
It was a script.
An interesting game for the neutrals, because everybody thought we was going to come out there and absolutely storm it. And I think someone from the TV companies had a word with them saying, come on, boys, you're going to win this anyway, so make it a little bit interesting, get them out a couple of goals to begin with, and then you can take the piss later. That's the way I think it went.
I like that theory, and it was the most watched cup final in the last 18 years. The highest ratings for a cup final.
And you know why that was? Because Arsenal were the best supported club next to Man United.
Exactly.
More people look at Arsenal on the internet than any other club in the world. And that trend, and I reckon we've got millions of fans, you know, that just kind of quite like Arsenal because of the history, the tradition, the new stadium, the kit. You know, they just, people just love Arsenal, you know.
Because the other thing as well to look at is on the parade on the Sunday, if you add up all those that went to see Man City within the Premier League and their parade, and all those who went to see Chelsea with their Champions League trophy, it was still 80,000 short of went to see Arsenal win the FA Cup.
Wonderful.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
That's what a big club we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wait till we win the Champions League.
Next season.
Hang on, I'm 33. I've only got 60 left in me.
You won't be able to get everyone on the planet.
Next season, though, seriously.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, in the words of Les Dennis on Family Fortunes, if that happens, I'll give you the money myself.
There's every chance, Dave. Don't be pessimistic.
Well, I'm a realist.
This is no time to be a realist. I like Steve, but I am still buzzing. Yeah. I never thought winning the FA Cup could feel so brilliant.
I know. Lovely trophy as well, isn't it?
And it's amazing.
Trophy. Brand new one as well.
Yeah.
And you notice the inside has been lined so it doesn't get mucked up by the champagne.
Is that right? That's a great fact.
If you look inside, it's got like a copper lining to stop it going rusty.
Did you ever have your picture taken with the FA Cup in the old days when we used to win it?
Yes.
You know, when you looked at it and you looked inside it, did you always think it's not as good as it looks on the telly? Yeah. Well, hopefully this one will look really good with it being
great
brand
stat.
New.
Yeah. I love that,
And when we won the FA Cup, was it against Southampton, in our run of winning loads of trophies? I think I probably didn't even think about that 2 days after we won the Cup. This Cup, I'm buzzing like two weeks on.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We all are, absolutely.
So, Dave, come on, woo! We won the Cup!
I've had a long day.
The other thing as well about this particular trophy as well is that we had the parade afterwards. We never had a parade after Man United in 2005.
We didn't have a parade. All for granted.
No. Yeah. Well, whatever reason it was, we didn't have it. But
everyone was out on the balcony. Jack was briefly in trouble with the FA for having a sense of humour and asking what people thought of Tottenham and inquiring as to what shit exactly was. But you know, it was a wonderful day. Great. Yeah. It was one of those things. I mean, over 9 years, I'm sure we've all had those days in the rain where we lose 27-0 against whoever. We've had far too many of them in the last 3-4 years. And
let me ask you, David.
Yes.
Did you enjoy the win?
Because
you were in the stadium, weren't you?
I was indeed. This is the thing. I mean, you go through the...
Tell us about your day.
Okay, well, I got my ticket out of nowhere because I went to the original ballot, didn't get one. Then I got the email the week before.
Not this much detail.
Okay, so...
We wore the same shirt.
And
we?
So the producer said to me, "Yeah, I'll do it ironically." Cool. I was behind the goals. We saw three of the goals out. The winner from Rambo and the two whole goals. And I was in the upper tier, directly behind the goal. You hear "Abide with Me" before a cup final. You know, you see all that on pitch dancing stuff going on. The players being led out, greeted by heir to the throne, that kind of thing. Then the national anthem, and I felt absolutely brilliant. But obviously, we're 2-0 down after 10 minutes, and you know, you're biting your nails, thinking they're fucking useless. They're fucking useless. And this woman next to me was exactly the same as me in the sense that I went in for tickets with my dad. I got lucky; he didn't. She went in for tickets with her husband. She got lucky, but he didn't. And we were sat there on our own, essentially, talking to each other occasionally.
Was she fit?
She was gorgeous. She was so lovely. All I know is when we equalised with the goalmouth scramble and Koscielny put it in, I've never been hugged so hard by that beautiful woman in my entire life. The saddest thing was...
Did you get aroused?
Sorry. Straight off the goal, absolutely. Think about it. But it got to it got to 90 minutes, huge round of applause. Everyone's saying, come on, Arsenal, fucking do this. She turned around to me, gave me a hug and said, I can't believe this, I'm going to have to go. And I said... You know we've got another half hour, don't you? You do know that. And she said, yeah, I know, but I know I got a ticket and my husband didn't, but it is our 10th anniversary and he's got us a table at a really nice restaurant. And I was like, if it's marriage, it means much fucking more than that.
Oh, my God.
But she
my
went.
What a depressing
went.
Story. Yes.
I didn't catch her name, and if I had his, I would name him and shame him
my
right
word.
Now.
Yeah.
Sorry, David.
Anna.
Back to your podcast.
It was a wonderful day. Getting back to Highbury, all my family was wonderful. I met them all up at my aunt's house. We got into a lock-in at the Duchess of Kent just off Arundel Square, filled with gooners, everyone singing, and it makes you realise, you know, I go through these shitty Saturday afternoons in the rain watching us draw 0-0 with shit teams. You get this at the end of it, and it's worth every second.
Is that like Arundel in Sussex?
Not a million miles away.
Oh, shouldn't it be Arundel?
If that's the only thing that you paid attention to, Steve, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. Anyway, look, going back, I had a wonderful day, I had a few beers at the end, we got locked into the Duchess of Kent, and my family were all smiling. It was a wonderful thing.
That's nice to hear, David.
And I can't wait for the next season, I really can't.
Good.
Really can't. Anyway.
I'm glad you're happy about it.
I am. I've just had a long day.
You've got too many questions there about the negative side of it.
No, not... Well, I've been asked by the Furious... Sorry, the editor, to discuss the game itself. I mean, to ask some questions like... Well, I mean, mine are even more miserable than that, but I'll leave them out for the time being.
Well, you ask what you want, Dave. Sorry.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, let's cut the game, shall we? We were 2-0 down. That was part of the script. We won 3-2. Regardless of what happened, football was the winner, and we got an extra trophy, and Chelsea didn't. Does the trophy mean that we will be in better shape next season, especially when travelling to the grounds of the other top four teams? What's your gut reaction, Kelvin?
I think that we've known for years that the team have needed to win something, to have that winning mentality.
Yep.
It's something that our teams in the past under Wenger may well have taken for granted, because they did it season in, season out.
Absolutely.
It makes a huge difference. It doesn't matter whether it was the Capital One Cup or the FA Cup or whatever it was. It had to be a trophy for them to win. And I think this season has probably been the best team spirit we've had for years.
I agree.
Looking back at the start of the season with the video clips of our East Asia tour, and you got the players on the plane, and you can see that the Germans were together, and they actually had a sense of humour, which is unusual. But you can see that there was a togetherness amongst the players, and bits of piss taking going on, and that's what you want in a football team.
Yeah.
You don't want your Van Persies or maybe your Fabregases or the Nasri's giving it Billy Big Bollocks.
It's funny how you want a team of
people there that want to play for each other,
like Mertesacker and Podolski. I mean, their sense of humour is incredible.
They do those Paddy Power videos, and they do that devil laugh with the cat's head going through some toast. Yeah, I remember.
It's incredible. You wouldn't expect that from the German players, would you? Right. I think Oswald's got a bit of a way to go, but you never know.
All the way to Russia, if you ask me. Yeah. There we are.
David, stop it.
Can't help it, I'm Kevin in disguise.
Maybe Podolski won't be there next year, though.
Well, we'll come back to that in a minute. Yeah. But, I mean, you raised a very, very good point, Kelvin. I mean, for the first time in God knows how long, even though he's not our captain yet, he would come out every game, whether he's behind Vermaelen, Arteta, both of them are at the front of his own. As soon as we do the handshake, Mertesacker would lead the team to the halfway line. They'd stand in a straight line, they'd clap all four corners of the ground, and at the end of the game, he'd walk round and thank everyone, get in front of the red section, and he'd give us a clenched fist and a proper pump, saying, we fucking did this today, that kind of thing. We haven't had a captain or a leader like that. You, like you say, there's balls and personality in the team. Mm. What do you think, Steve, Mark, between the two of you, have an arm wrestle?
What, you mean... The personalities in the team, and whether it's going to improve us for next year.
Why not? That'll do. I was going to go for someone else, but that'll do.
Definitely going to improve us for next year. Mm. We cannot do any worse, can we?
No.
We cannot do any worse. You know, and we know where we went wrong last year. Mm. We Wenger hopefully will learn from his mistakes. I think we will see a new Arsene Wenger next year and during the summer. I think a lot of this, him delaying signing his contract, might have been that he wanted certain guarantees out of the board and stuff. So I certainly think we'll have a bit more of a profitable transfer window than we had last year in terms of players coming in.
Well, I can hope.
But we just hope that he's learned from his tactics next year. When he goes to Stamford Bridge, let's not go gung-ho. Let's not just like play a defence on the halfway line. Let's play deep. You know, every other team that's played deep against Chelsea has got a result. We've got better players than most other teams. We can get results there. Mm. We can get a result against Man City. They're no better than us.
But,
you know, Liverpool, different kettle of fish with their strikers and Raheem Sterling. You know, you need a bit of a miracle to hold out against them. But let's not lose 5-0. And one of the great things about winning the FA Cup this year was that we beat Liverpool on the way.
Yeah.
And that was bloody magnificent. The atmosphere in the Emirates that day was superb.
Yeah, it was.
Best ever at the Emirates.
One of the best for a while, I think, actually.
Yeah. But we were just singing Red Army, all the way through that game.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
One of the things you touched on just then was like tactical anger. Well, to me, those two things don't go together.
No.
You know, he's never been a tactician, but one thing that he did in extra time, he was rearranging the water bottles, telling people what positions to go in, and I've never seen him
do anything
like that before.
I totally agree. There was a clip, Kelv is totally correct. At the end, he had all the water bottles out on the floor of the pitch, telling players where to stand. I have never seen him do that. You're spot on.
It's amazing.
Yeah, well,
amazing. You know, this Steve Bolton thing's got a bit quiet, hasn't it? You know, like at the beginning of the season before last, you know, people credited him with a better defensive record.
Yeah.
And then this year, people are saying, oh, Wenger's taking all the defensive coaching back. And now we've been shit again at the back.
Yeah.
So what did we reckon about that?
Well, apparently Steve Bolton's going to be manager at West Bromley, from what I hear.
Is he?
Is that right?
A hot favourite.
Bloody hell.
Well, that could be a bit of bad news for us.
He must put the cones out in a brilliant way at the training sessions at Arsenal.
But do you think that? Because apparently the assistant managers don't get too much in the way of control anyway, so it make any difference who's the assistant manager?
It sounds like a joke, but his job at Arsenal, I imagine, at training sessions, is actually putting the cones out.
I mean, it all depends how much influence and control an assistant manager has, but from what I hear, it's not much, is it?
He's had the same coaches since he's been here. I mean,
Borough pre-match been there from the start.
Neil Banfield's been promoted. Jerry Payton, who was the goalkeeping coach at the Goye Grand Prix, and that's the only reason he got a job at Arsenal.
They were on the buses, those coaches, on the parade, you know.
Yeah.
And I saw a rerun on TV, and all that, I'm thinking, who's that? And it was Borough Primovic and Neil Banfield. And the goalkeeper coach, whose name I don't even know.
They just said Jerry
Payton.
And they were there on the bus. I'm thinking, who the fuck are they? It's unusual for football fanatics like us not to recognise immediately the coaches. You know,
Stevie Bolt doesn't go to West Brom. Because I can just think back to when Don Al thought he could do it.
Yeah.
And he went to West Brom.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. Have you heard what's happened in France? For personal unnamed reasons, Rémi Garde resigned as manager of Lyon. And Lyon said that they're very, very sorry to lose him, but they understand he wants to go for reasons they wouldn't go into. So I'm pretty certain he'd be Wenger's first choice to get the job at Arsenal. So if Boldy does end up at West Brom.
Unless he's going to West Brom. Unless Garde's going to West Brom.
He's overqualified.
Yeah. Is he any good, Rémi Garde?
He was a very, very solid defensive midfielder. He'd bring in for 15 minutes at the end. As a coach, he runs a team who play one style of football on a very limited budget. Right. He'll fit in brilliantly.
And what was the style, though? What was the style?
Very, very slow 4-2-3-1 with Gervinho on the right.
Blimey.
It was.
Okay. Well, Gervinho did well last year at Roma, didn't he?
Did brilliant. Yes, he did, actually.
Did fantastic.
I
always liked Gervinho. I had a soft spot for him.
He did.
Sorry to see
you. And you got slated on the podcast for your opinion.
I know. I did.
With sheer lunacy.
I was proved right, I think.
Now, once again, I will say that you were the man that called for us to sign Mertesacker a year before we signed him, Steve, as the ideal player to sign for Arsenal on this very podcast.
Although he tested our love for him to the limit, didn't he, on the final day by falling over. It wasn't his fault, but could happen to anyone.
I blame
him. But Mertesacker, the club is a million times better for having him in it, you know. And I never want to lose Mertesacker. I think his personality is brilliant. And the way he walks around at the Emirates at the end of the game.
Yeah,
clenching the fist, waves to everyone. I mean, if he can do that, they can all do it. But we just love it. You feel like he's waving to you, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Mark.
Yes.
Do you believe that Arsenal win further trophies in the next three seasons after everything that's happened? Has it been a kick up the arse? And if so, will these trophies be the league title or the Champions League? Or both?
I like to think the FA Cup has reminded Wenger of what it's like to win a trophy. Because, as you know, the past few years, he said coming third or coming fourth is like a trophy.
Mm.
But seeing the pure joy on both our supporters' faces and the team's faces and him, he must have thought, yeah, I forgot. This is what it's all about. So even though I put out rubbish teams in the FA Cup because I wanted to come higher up in the league, actually, it's brilliant winning trophies. Mm. So I hope it's reinstalled in him that winning mentality of what having an actual proper cup can really bring us. So to answer your question, yeah, it's a long shot winning the you know, Champions League, and perhaps now even a longer shot winning the Premier League. I mean, you know, Van Gaal is not going to do any worse than the real fuck up that Moyes did last season. So they're probably back in some regard next season. Liverpool, if they keep hold of Suarez, make it stronger.
Yep.
Chelsea and City are pretty familiar with opponents. Five teams probably in it.
Yep.
But do you know what? We're only a few players away from a really good squad. I know he says every year.
Oh, we're only five players off a really good squad.
But
oh, so that's fine.
But listen, but surely now's the time, finally. I know we say it every year, and it's Groundhog Day, but we have won a cup, haven't we?
We have
this
time.
We have won a cup.
We have.
So why not? And if we can't still believe, what's the point of being football supporters? Now, I would have got rid of Wenger a year ago. I'd have got rid of Wenger after the Chelsea game.
Mm.
But the fact is, he's not going anywhere for a while, right? He's going to be there regardless of what happens now, for the next couple of years at the very least. 3 years probably. So we've got to get behind him. And even though I would like to change, I'd like to see Klopp there.
Yep.
It's not going to happen. No. We won the FA Cup. Let's go for it.
All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, Kelvin, gun to your head. Are we going to win the league or the Champions League next 2 or 3 years? Well, next season, maybe.
Certainly not the Champions League.
No.
But,
no.
But surely you can fit the Champions League easy. You can fit the
league. We got to the final with a team.
We did, but I don't think... look, of course we'd love to be there. But I don't think we will. The league, the Premier League, I think we've got more chance of winning that. You know, we were top for, what was it, 128 days this season?
Mm.
You know, and we all thought in January, come on, get that striker that we need, that world-class striker. I like Giroud. Mm. He's not world-class, but I like him.
Yep.
And he didn't. He let us down. And that's it. We just fell away.
True. Right.
And as you say, every season, we're two or three players away. You know, and I still think it's going to be Groundhog Day.
Really?
I really do, yeah. I'm going to come back in a year's time and say, thank God I was wrong.
I should know better. Year after year after year, Groundhog Day failure. But I just can't help. With me, the glass is half full all the time, so I'm prepared to be disappointed, but I hope not.
See, I've been half empty a lot recently in many different ways, not just football. Like,
oh, Christ.
But the FA Cup, it has changed things. I can't help but feeling great about football at the moment.
No, I know.
So even though Kelvin's probably totally right, and the fact is Wenger has come out and said, there's no business till after the World Cup that worries me, because already Liverpool have made signings, and Chelsea have as well, right?
Yeah.
So, you know,
Do you know what? We've got the World Cup coming on, haven't we? Right, the age-old question. Would you rather England won the World Cup or Arsenal won the League Cup next year?
I'd rather Arsenal win a corner, to be honest.
Yeah,
exactly.
Honestly, probably Arsenal won the League Cup, but that's a close-run thing. But FA Cup, easily Arsenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Which just goes to show you, all this hyperbole about the World Cup, it's just there to fill a gap, isn't it, in the middle of the summer?
No, it's there to make money for FIFA.
Yeah. If every other football fan, and I'm sure they do think like us, Chelsea fans would say the same, you know, Liverpool fans would say the same. I mean, we'll watch the World Cup, but I'm not that. I don't care whether England win it or not.
No, but I think
it's just there to fill a gap.
Outside the top four or five teams, if you're a fan of, say, Southampton, it's probably different, isn't it?
Yeah.
You probably would rather have England win the World Cup. Or if you support like a Championship team or Division 1 or 2. But we've been very spoilt. And the football we watch with Arsenal is a lot better quality than most international football.
Yeah, and that's why most of the England fans all come from Hartlepool and Southend.
Absolutely.
And, you know, stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
And one of the things I do hope in the World Cup is the England band actually get banned. I just cannot stand watching an England game with that poxy band playing. The best thing about the Euros the other year was when we played in Ukraine, I think it was, and they banned them from going in the ground. And the English supporters that were there, 4,000 strong, managed to sing their own songs.
Yeah.
Rather than keep here in England till I die and the bloody great escape. As soon as that band gets out there, the better. Because all I can think of is failure under Glenn Hoddle.
Yeah.
That's a very good point, Kelvin.
It is a fair point.
Go back to Kelvin's point, though, about stuff like that. Back to the FA Cup.
Mm.
What is it with when Wembley and their insistence on pumping out music and tunes at any opportunity and not letting the fans actually sing. When and we lifted the cup, it was pop tune after pop tune.
Yeah, yeah. London, how good was London's Calling, though?
Very good. But did we need Pet Shop Boys, Go West?
Yes,
we do. You do realise these are Arsenal songs that we sing.
See, I actually quite like that.
But I like it when the fans sing. At Wembley, they just blast out the tannoy at 1,000 decibels.
I like that, though. I like we should have had Simply the Best. That was our old song in the old days. We should have had London's Calling.
We had London
1-0 to the Arsenal. Simply, we didn't have London's Calling. Simply the Best would have been brilliant. Oh my god, fantastic.
You're moaning about the commercial tunes they gave us, but your big fuss is there wasn't enough for Tina Turner.
When they came down, London's Calling.
But the favourite song to sing after you've won the cup for donkey's years has been E.I. Adio, We Won the Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that reverberating around Blackstock Road on cup final day, there was youngsters there going, what's that?
Yeah,
that's the FA. That's the song you sing when you win the FA Cup.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. True.
That's it's some of the traditions that you know that people adore, like Abide With Me. It always brings a lump to your throat.
Indeed.
You know, and we sang it with passion in the Bank of Friendship that day. But when they, but as you say, when they put the music on afterwards, it just for me it kills it. It really does.
I quite like.
I think it should be a case of immediately after. Let the fans do their little bit.
Yeah, yeah, and then bring it on.
Then bring the music on. Yeah, when the teams are going.
I agree, Kelvin.
Oh, you see that when you go a goal down at somewhere like Crystal Palace, and all you can hear is like a cheesy dance song from 1995. You're thinking, well, for a start, I'm not a fucking disco anymore. Yes, they were called discos. That's how long ago.
Quick word to Palace, though. How brilliant were they last year? Tony Pulis, manager of the year. Marvellous.
He made Marouane Chamakh look a little bit like a footballer.
He did.
But how difficult is it to say Tony Pulis is really a good manager?
Yeah. Anyway, gents, if I turn around to Stephen, if I turn around to you after the 3-1 home defeat to Villa, first day of the season, and I said to you, don't worry about this, we're going to finish fourth and win the FA Cup, I think it's safe to say you would have snatched that from me straight away.
Absolutely.
But was it a good season overall? That's the big question.
Was it? That's a damn good question.
Exactly.
Is it trophy over football, trophy over league?
It's Sophie's choice.
Trophy over results.
Sophie's choice.
I mean, if we'd have finished fifth and won the FA Cup, would it have been a good season? I mean, is it a good season winning the FA Cup, finishing fourth, but getting thrashed by all our immediate rivals? And when I say thrashed, I mean thrashed. Yeah. Was it a good season overall? Do you know what? The end was good. The end was good.
Okay.
After Chelsea was great.
Perhaps it's
winning
like...
six games on the trot, winning the semi-final, winning the cup, and being filled with optimism. And the middle of the season was good until Walcott got injured and Ramsey got injured. But I think there was an intermediate bit between January and possibly March, April that was fucking shit.
You make it sound like a review of The Dark Knight Rises. Very exciting beginning. Yeah, you know, gets really shit in the middle, lets everyone else down, but a really happy ending.
It's probably the worst January to April we've ever experienced, but the best August to January, and a very good ending.
What are you thinking, Kelvin? I mean, you know, after where we were after the Villa game at the start of the year, we would have taken this end to the season more than anything, but you know, halfway through, we're singing What Might Have Been by Jimmy Nail.
But it's exactly what might have been, you know. We were so close, you know, and we were so far ahead at one point, you know, and it's that same old story, you know. What does he see on the pitch that the rest of us are failing to see, or vice versa? Because, you know, we've said it several times tonight, and we continue saying it. I know we will. We're a couple of good players away from having a title winning side.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he persevere with some of the players that he does? You know, when you know you get somebody in there of that world class.
And what happened to Gnabry? We saw him, didn't we?
Yeah, injured.
Yeah. It's just.
I think he rates him.
What might have been. That's it in a nutshell, really. But going back to the first game of the season, Aston Villa. I mean, obviously everyone was distraught after that because you know you're thinking, this is it. I think he's going to go now, and a lot of people were praying for that. But if you'd come back down the halfway house after the game, you would have thought we'd actually just won the league that day.
Really?
Because people were singing their nuts off, they were dancing on tables and chairs, because it was a case of...
They were thinking the Wenger was going?
No, it was a case of, look, we're Arsenal, fuck everybody else.
You're right.
You know, this is our team, this is our club, we don't care. We're going to all have a go at the club, but people outside you can't, so this is up yours, you know, we're going to carry on partying.
Yeah. I must admit, that's a great philosophy to have, but I think I was fucking in a pub screaming Blue Murder that night.
Oh, we did for about half an hour. Yeah. And that was it, and then the song started and that was it. You know?
Mm. Now, if we'd have beaten Villa, do you think we would not have signed Ozil? Or Ozil.
We would have signed someone. I mean, we were after two centre forwards, and although Ozil was a panic buy, if we started the year with a obviously weak squad, and we had to spend some of that money for the sake of it, then Christ.
You don't think if we'd have beaten Villa, it would have given Arsene Wenger an excuse to say, we don't need to spend any money, I told you the squad's good enough?
It'd be amazing to know, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It really would be amazing to know what would happen.
Because there's a huge groundswell that thinks, if we hadn't lost to Villa and the crowd hadn't rebelled that day, we wouldn't have signed Ozil and things would have been totally different.
Because that crowd reaction shook him up, didn't it?
It did. Yeah. At the AGM, he actually said after that game there was a revolution with inside the club. But he didn't mention any more than that. He said there was a revolution inside
the club. Who said that?
That Wenger said that.
Really?
At the AGM.
Do you think it kind of acted in the same way as the 8-2 defeat to Man United did at Old Trafford, in the sense that that happened right at the end of the transfer window, and that makes Wenger turn around and say, you see what I've got to play with? I blatantly need some new fucking players.
Yeah.
Could have been like that.
But
it could have been turned around and the ball turned around and say, you need new players. That's why they're playing like that.
Yes, I agree.
We would never know until he leaves the club and he writes his autobiography. Because I think there's a bit of both going on.
That's a very fair point, actually, Kilwin. Very much
so. Imagine Wenger, my story, the truth behind those transfer windows.
I think it's safe to say he's going to get a very, very golden handshake to make sure he doesn't write anything revealing all too much.
That's one book the spy would take on his holidays, isn't it?
I would take it on my holiday tomorrow. Yep.
What about you, Mr. Ollington? I mean, look, the FA Cup was obviously the day of your year, if not the decade. But taking a step back, looking at everything, was it a good season? This overall, was it a good season?
I thought long and hard about this, David. To me, it's like the career of David Bowie. It gets off to a brilliant start. The 70s albums are seminal. They're marvellous. That takes us up to Christmas.
Ooh, yes.
Marvellous? Hanging down the back of the wing.
And then you get up to the Let's Dance, Tonight, and Never Let Me Down period, which is like January to March. But then you get the Renaissance, him coming back, and culminating in the seminal Next Day album that's a great return to form, which is the FA Cup at the end. Ooh. So you can liken the M season to the career of David Bowie.
For some reason, now I'm thinking that Jack Wilshere is Little Wonder You.
I thought that's a great analogy.
And even though I'm a fan, the M6-3 defeat is
Tim Machine.
And then the
6-0 against Chelsea is
Tim Machine 2.
Yeah, or part of Heathen.
Okay, gents, we're down to our last 12-30 minutes, but just to finish it off, let's have a very brief review of the player seasons. We're going to be quick, but I'm going to go through the
Did
first
you say seconds squad. Or minutes?
Minutes.
Well, we don't have to be that quick then, do we?
I'll give you the players going from my left to right. Okay.
Every player? This will take ages.
Well, be quick then. So we'll start. Kelvin, Wojciech Szczęsny.
I think he's a good keeper. I think Fabianski's a better keeper this season. And it's going to be a huge loss for us when he's gone. Mm. But he's too good to be a number two. What we do need is someone there as an experienced keeper who's going to keep Szczęsny on his toes and also keep him a little bit down a little bit, you know.
Mm.
So he doesn't get too carried away and too cocky with himself. Because we noticed once Fabianski had said during the season, that's it, I'm likely to be off, Szczęsny was back to being that little bit cocky self, a little bit too cocksure, a couple of little mistakes creeping in. So
taking a selfie after every win. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think, Kelvin, that's why then Wenger didn't play him in the final to knock him down a peg or two?
No. I think it's loyalty because Fabianski's got us there in the first place.
But back in the day, Wenger would play the cupkeeper, then have seen him in the final.
He may well have done, but I think with this one with Fabianski getting us there by the penalties against Wigan, it was only right he did that.
He also plays brilliant against Everton.
I think, to be honest, a lot of fans would have been disappointed had he not played, because he actually got us there.
But what benefit was
we actually won it.
Yeah, but from the very start of that game, the defence always looked, to me, I have to agree, looked more panicked when Fabianski wasn't playing. And if Szczęsny wins that game, he's then won a trophy.
True.
And if Fabianski fucks off, that is no benefit to Arsenal, him winning that trophy at all.
And also, there is an argument as well that with the, David asked earlier on in this podcast what went wrong in the first 5 minutes or the first 10 minutes to concede the two goals. Some would argue that Fabianski wasn't dominant enough in the area. And he could have come out.
I get your point.
But
those,
at the end of the day, it all came out all right at the end, and he's going to go off to Swansea, so
yeah,
that's
exactly. We can have Michelle Vorm now, can't we?
Well, okay, my understanding is he's going straight to Spurs when Lloris goes to PSG.
Which keeper do we want to replace Lloris. Fabianski? Who would you have, David? Who'd you want?
I'd have to take John Ruddy. Julian Speroni's out of contract.
I'd have Speroni tomorrow.
I'd have him. Or David Marshall from Celtic, if his job is being an Arsenal reserve.
And if they don't want 15 million for him, it's a bit much to pay for a number two.
Well, in an ideal world, if Thibaut Courtois is coming back to Chelsea, I'd happily take Petr Cech if they don't want him anymore. But I don't think that's going to happen.
So it's all up in the air then?
Yeah, we'll find an unknown Eastern European goalkeeper who's available on a long-term contract for an undisclosed fee.
I'd take Ruddy for 8 million.
He's a really good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Your thought on our goalkeepers this season, Mr. Rollington?
I totally agree with Kelvin. The only thing I'd say is I do think it's a shame Chelsea didn't play in the final.
Mm.
Because out of all the squad that we've got now, he's the only one that didn't really contribute to a trophy win.
No.
Which I think is a bit of a shame. But you know what? I totally agree. We need a decent backup for Chesney. Yeah. And the guy's still very, very prone to arrogance. And so he does need to knock down a peg or two every now and then. I agree with your choices. So should we move on to the next dude?
Yeah, moving on to our right backs. When I say our right backs, Manchester City's reserve right back, the £150,000 a week pensioner, Bakary Sagna. How do you feel about him this year, Mr. Ashley?
I've always loved Bakary Sagna. I think he's a great player. He had a bit of a bad period the season before last, where around about Christmas time, particularly against Newcastle when we won 6-3, was it, I think?
Oh, yeah.
And he was responsible for all three Newcastle goals. But having said that, he's been a great servant. He's been absolutely brilliant. I love Sagna to death. Love his loyalty. Love everything about him. Can't blame him for taking the £150,000 a week on offer. I wouldn't have offered him that as an Arsenal manager. I wouldn't have even given him £100,000 a week. Right back, £100,000 a week, wouldn't pay it. So he's free to go. He goes with my good wishes. I think he's a great player, but we have to make sure we get a decent right back to replace him, because he contributed big time to us getting in the Champions League every year, winning the FA Cup, getting qualifying from the group stages every year. You know, we've got to be very careful about who we replace him with.
What about our current reserve right back, Carl Jenkinson, the man who celebrated like any of us would have celebrated when he scored a really shitty tap in against Norwich, bless him. I thought he'd scored the winning goal in the 1966 World Cup final, bless him.
Love Carl Jenkinson, actually.
Well,
love
you know, he is one of us, isn't he?
I'm not sure
if he had the skill to fill all 11 players he's in the side, I would have 11 Carl Jenkinsons inside just on passion alone.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of thing that you need. And hopefully, you know, his love of the club and his family's love of the club might have somehow got through to the players as well.
Yeah.
You know, just so that they... Because I don't think anyone at the club, since the likes of Bergkamp and Henry left, have had the ability to be able to turn around and say, do you realise what club you're playing for?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realise what an honour it is to be here?
Yeah.
Because when you look at the Benters of this world, you think... Who at the club actually sort of pulled him aside one day and said, do you know how lucky you are?
Absolutely.
And I don't think anybody ever did.
No.
Great point.
Although there is rumours that Lehman sort of had a bit of a dig at him when he came back for their little time.
The BFG should have got into one side and said, listen, you fucking Danish twat. You know, I'm so lucky to be playing for this club, and so should you be.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beauty of the BFG.
But that's what I like about Jenkinson. Yeah. I think every club should have a fan playing for them. I mean, you know, back in the 70s we had Charlie coming off the North Bank, you know, and playing for us, and you know, we've got it with Jack to a degree, but you know, Carl Jenkinson, family, generations of family.
He's living the dream to go from Charlton to Arsenal.
You say that about Jack though. Do you think Jack has got the potential to get his ear bent by players in the England World Cup squad?
Yes.
Oi, Jack, you're going to play for them. Come and play for us. Yes. I think if anyone's going to have his head turned, it'll be Wilshere.
Yes.
We'll come back to the midfielders in a minute. But let's have a huge smile on our face and move into the centre of defence. Notwithstanding our official captain at the moment, Tommy V. Mertesacker and Koscielny did all right, didn't they, Mark?
Well, that is the perceived wisdom, David, one that I would have agreed with. But you have to ask yourself, for the absolute thrashings that we got, and there was a lot of thrashings against top four opponents this season, was that down to them or was it down to tactics? Would, if there were two great international quality centre halves, would we really got beaten by six goals on two separate occasions and another five?
They both played badly at Anfield, didn't they? They both played. Let's put the cards on the table.
Are they world class?
Mertesacker and Koscielny did not play well at Anfield.
I personally love them.
Yeah.
I think that I've got a lot of time for both of those players. But you have to ask yourself why we lost those top games so heavily and why we conceded two goals in very short space time against Hull. Mm. Was it down to the whole team? Was it down to the protection in the midfield? Or was it down to the simple fact our centre-halves aren't up to it?
I think it was the sheer absence of anything in front of them, apart from opposition's forwards coming to them. Looking at Arteta, who's running as fast as he can from the halfway line, which sadly is half of 1 mile an hour.
You never liked him.
When you go in for a player from another club like Everton, their reaction is, have him.
Oh, I love Arteta. I love Arteta.
I will fight you. He brings nothing to this club.
He's got a brain. So, I know I'm going to digress a bit now.
Yes, sure.
We're running short of time. Let's ask an important question.
Yeah.
Fabregas is up for sale. We've got first refusal. I think it's a no-brainer that we should sign him.
I agree.
And replace Arteta with Fabregas. I love Arteta, but he's nearly 33. Fabregas is 27, 6 years younger, a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. I would offer a swap deal and say that we will take Fabregas and £15 million for Mesut Ozil, personally.
Really? Yeah. I wouldn't get rid of Ozil. I'd play Fabregas.
I really don't think he gives a flying fuck Fabregas about being here.
I'd play Fabregas in the Arteta role.
All right, that's entirely your opinion. Anyway, going back to the centre-halves, what did you think of them, Kelvin?
I thought they were okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were okay. You know, they have their off days, but they all had off days, you know.
Don't we all?
Yeah,
don't
exactly. The one thing is, you know, I've said for a couple of seasons ago.
You want to try and get your head around the Sony purchase order system.
I've never really rated Vermaelen. I've never really rated him. I think he, I think a lot of people's attitude towards him is, and you know, whether they think he's good or bad or not, he's been good. It was those first five games that he played for us, and he scored something like three goals in the first five games, which, you know, Tony Adams never used to do in five seasons, let alone five games. And everybody thought, wow, we've got a centre half here who actually likes going forward a little bit. And I don't think he's progressed at all. I know he's had some injuries, etc.
Yeah, where did it all go wrong after that?
Well, I would actually prefer to see him as a defensive midfielder, like Gilberto used to be.
I can see that.
I can see that.
We can all see it.
Yeah,
but OGL can't.
Yeah, I can't see him as a centre back anymore. I really can't.
No, I agree with Kelvin. I would say people love Koscielny and Mertesacker. Are they as good as Bolden Adams?
No,
exactly. No. That's my point. As great as those two are, we're still short of a world-class centre-half.
I think we're
looking
at Bolden Adams through rose-tinted glasses, though. Remember in the mid-90s when they played every match and we finished, you know, under Bruce Rea,
10th, 11th,
and at the end of the George Graham role.
Well, under the open, come fifth.
Yeah. The last knock-ins of the Graham role, we finished third. Was it 12th?
Yeah, we still 11th. Got to finals and won trophies, though.
Yeah.
Won the Cup Winners' Cup, FA Cup double and the League Cup.
But we would have gone to Anfield and Old Trafford and you know, Man City and lost with Bolden Adams.
Yeah, but not by 6-0, though.
No, maybe not.
Okay, moving to the left backs, am I correct in saying that Gibbs and Monreal were fair to middling?
Monreal was, I think, one of the worst defenders I've seen at Arsenal Football Club. He had some appalling games this season.
He's better than Andre Santos.
Monreal should not be playing for Arsenal.
Great game against Liverpool at home in the FA Cup.
A swallow doesn't make a swan or something.
No, you're right.
You know,
he's
somehow going to the World Cup.
I think Kieran Gibbs had a decent season.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him, I think, put a run of games together. I know he's had a couple of injuries, but he was decent. It's still positioning at times, still leaves a lot to be desired, but I like him.
Would you spunk £27 million on Luke Shaw?
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah,
I think he's brilliant.
Still a fucking left back.
Yeah, how about they all play on the pitch? 11 players, you know, not one player's more important than the other.
Okay, well, the big question: two groups of midfielders are potentially.
You've got a lot of views and opinions.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I've been stuck at home all day doing legal work. That's how exciting it is. Okay, our defensive midfielders. Well, not so much our defensive midfielders, but the players who have played in the two of the 4-2-3-1. Mikel Arteta, Mathieu Flamini, Aaron Ramsey and Jack Wilshere. Your immediate thoughts of them, Kelvin?
I liked Flamini coming back because he put that bit of bite that we've spoken about before. Someone who knows what the club is about and what it needs to play for. And I think that's also rubbed off on the players. But he faded towards the end of the season. and didn't get much of a look in. Arteta, I would have loved him to be at the club about 4 or 5 years ago, alongside Fabregas.
Mm-hmm.
But this season, I can't see him doing much for next season. I think this is probably his final season with us as a first choice.
You know? I agree with that.
He's been a good servant, but you know, he's, when you get to that sort of age, you like to think that they use their ability to read a space to be able to close something down. But I don't think he's got that anymore.
I agree.
You know, and he certainly doesn't have the pace, because you look at Palace away when he got caught out and he got sent off for it, you know. And it's not, it wasn't the only time that he did that during the season. What were the other ones that he said?
Rambo and Wilshire.
Oh, yes. Well, Ramsey, what a revelation this season. You know, I mean, last season, every time something went wrong, everybody turned around and said, oh, that was Ramsey. Even though it wasn't, you know,
absolutely,
that was Ramsey. But what a revelation. What a superstar. If he had not been injured, he would have been player of the year.
Might have even won the title, actually.
Yeah.
If him and Walcott had not been injured, we might have won the title.
Yeah.
But if my nan had ball, she'd be my granddad.
Yeah. Indeed.
And I think as well, you know, jumping ahead, but as you say about winning the title, maybe we'll go back with Walcott. But I think Ozil faded away, because he didn't have someone like Walcott to put that ball through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that first game that he played against Sunderland, Walcott could have had a hat-trick in the first half. Every ball put through by Ozil. And if Ozil hasn't got anybody around him to play the ball to, Ozil's going to look shit.
That's why we need a fast, nippy striker in the summer.
Yeah.
Even if it is Loic Remy, he's fast and nippy. Ozil could feed him.
Yeah. Calvin Dryer and also Ozil faded when Ramsey also got injured too. Because Ramsey, they were feeding each other back and forth the whole time. And I know you diss Ozil, but his game suffered when those two players got injured. Because if you're a creator, if you're a maestro on the pitch, you need a canvas. And if people aren't giving you your canvas and your brushes and your paints, what can you do, David?
Well, I hope to be proven wrong, Mark. I really,
canvas,
really do.
Mark? Marvellous.
Always be slightly wary of a man who was substituted at half-time on 6 separate occasions in his last year at Real Madrid. That's all I'm saying about Ozil. Moving on to the attacking midfield players. Obviously, we've got Mezzi. We've got Rzeczki. We've got Podolski, Cazorla, Walcott, and technically Oxlade-Chamberlain, although nobody knows exactly where he plays. What do you think about our attacking midfielders, Steve?
I think they're all brilliant, to be honest.
All of them?
I love Rzeczki.
Who doesn't love Rzeczki?
I love Oxlade-Chamberlain. One of the sad things last year, did you realise, he only actually started 8 matches last year.
Well, he did it for a lot of the time.
I know. I mean, what would it have been like if he'd have started most games? I mean, against Wigan in the semi-final, he was absolutely awesome, and he was only half fit. I know it was only Wigan, but I'm looking forward to seeing him, a lot more of him next year. Hopefully he stays injury free. Walcott, as everyone who reads my column knows, that I wasn't great on Walcott in the first few years, but he's actually improved 1,000%. He's actually now a footballer, and he will bring the best out of Ozil. I do think that we need another ball playing wide player, a genuine ball playing wide player. I don't think Cazorla was at his best last year. I think we might well have seen the best of him. Although thank God for that goal in the final. I'd love to see another create. That Griezmann at Sociedad excites me.
Yeah,
wouldn't mind seeing him down there.
Right.
And he scores goals. But by and large, the creative players, I love them. Love them all.
What do you reckon, Mr. Ollington?
I kind of agree. But the question is on everyone's lips, listening to this podcast at home. What about the enigma that is Podolski? That's the question.
Oh, what a great question. Kelvin, you're bursting. You're bursting.
I love him.
I think he's great. I really do. He's got, for someone who's supposedly one of the best finishers that Wenger has ever seen, I don't understand why Wenger doesn't start him.
Up front, really, in a 4-4-2, maybe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Why do we persist in the formation that we do? See, that's why I think, you know, we've come on to the performance in a minute, so that's why I'll talk about Giroud, but I don't want Podolski to go. I think he's got something to give the club off the pitch as well as on it.
Absolutely.
I think he's a huge benefit to us off the pitch. I think he's great in the dressing room, and we need characters like that as well. But also, come on, and he does turn a game.
Absolutely.
I don't know whether he's a 90-minute player.
I think he's better off the bench, you know.
I think he's better off the bench.
Yeah. And then against Swansea, when we were losing, brought him on. Within 10 minutes, we were 2-1 up.
Yeah.
He'd scored one and made one.
But it needs to be more than 20 minutes.
And yet, in the FA Cups, the semi-final and the final,
it has to
be said, we did look better when we took him off.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to the forwards. Mr. Rollington, our forwards. Let's not worry about Giroud, the big ones. Akpom, Bentner, Sanogo. Yaya's a no-go, bless him. What do you reckon about our four forwards?
Wake me up before you say no-go. I do maintain that in the FA Cup final, when he came on, he caused a lot of trouble. The guy obviously has got no talent whatsoever.
I think he has got talent.
But you know what, Steve? Joking aside, in all seriousness,
He tried the little cheeky backflick, didn't he, in the final?
I watched the final on TV later. At times, he just doesn't look like a football player. And then every now and then, they do something where you think, yeah, perhaps Leonard has got talent, but he never looks like scoring, does he? Can you see him scoring a goal?
He did score two goals that were ruled out for offside, marginal offside, to Everton. And one other place whose name escapes me. Might be Norwich, but...
I think Sonogo is the postman that fails to deliver. Wenger thinks he's first class.
I think he's got something.
All I know is Carver Diawara had sex with a woman in the south of France called something Sonogo about 19 years ago. That's all I do know. Gents, I've got a million other questions to ask.
Who is better, Sonogo or Christopher Stingray?
Ray.
Stingray's got it.
Sonogo's better.
Christopher Ray was a very, very good guitar player. He used to be in a band. So I'll take Chris Ray, just for his second album. Gents, I've got a million other things to talk about, but sadly I can't, as we've actually gone 5 minutes over, but this is how entertaining it's been.
Do you have any emails from the fans?
No.
Can we not do a second?
Kevin is shaking his head vehemently.
Can we not do next week's podcast in a minute?
Arsenal sign nobody but get linked with everyone and Chelsea buy them instead. Finally, the usual reminder that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, our address is goonapodcast@gmail.com. We've got 3 months, people, so please feel free to write to us. We will include you next time. So with that, it's goodbye from Steve
Roberts, Javier, June the 21st, see you then.
From Mark,
goodbye all,
and Kelvin,
goodbye everybody. Watch out for Belgium in the World Cup.
We'll be back towards the end of August after a summer break with our next podcast, and we hope you have an enjoyable summer in the meantime. For now, this is your host, David Udo, saying goodbye and thanks for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Way!